Christ. Amen. The portion of Scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 14, beginning with the 23rd verse. This is our Gospel for today, the 6th Sunday of Easter. Dear friends in Christ, our members here at Holy Cross, friends and family of the Klauses and Daniels, and especially you, Amber and Kayla, our confirmants. This time of year, many Christian families celebrate two main events in a young person's life: graduation and confirmations. What's the difference between the two? A difference between a graduation and a confirmation? Many people look at them as if they're very similar, if not the same. But there are many differences that make them far different than each other. A graduation is a celebration of an end. When someone graduates from high school, for instance, that person has reached the end of high school. She's not going to return the next year to that same school to learn even more. That's not how it works. Graduate goes on to bigger and better things. Maybe she joins the workforce or enters the military or goes on to college somewhere else. Well, that's what a graduation is. Someone has completed a course of study and is now moving on to something else. What about a confirmation? Now, it is true that you have completed a course of study after 3 years of hard work and study and memorization. You're done. But now that you have completed your study, you wish to confess your faith. That's what a confirmation is at its very essence. It is a public profession or a public confession of faith. Now you confess that you have been taught the basics of God's Word and that you believe and agree with what God's Word says in His Holy Bible. And that you agree with what our church teaches, and so you desire to become a member of this congregation. And then, since we are perfectly united in doctrine and practice, we invite you to join us in the Lord's Supper as we declare our oneness in faith together. So at its very essence, a confirmation is different than a graduation. There's something else that makes a confirmation quite different than a graduation. A graduation is a ceremony all about the person graduating. In a confirmation, there are promises. In a matter of minutes, you'll stand up here and you will make two main promises before God and before the people of this congregation. I'm going to ask you two questions. The first question: do you intend to continue steadfast in this teaching and to endure all things, even death, rather than fall away from it? And the second question: do you intend faithfully to conform all your life to the teachings of God's Word, to be faithful in the use of the Word and sacrament, and in faith and action remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as long as you live? And to both questions, you will respond, "I do," and I ask God to help me. Now think about those promises you two are about ready to make. Take them seriously. That first promise. In that first promise, you will promise to be steadfast, to remain in the one true faith, and that you would rather die than fall away from the faith and the truth that you have learned and are confessing and did confess earlier today. Now, I don't think too many people, too many confirmants, make that promise and say they intend to be faithful when they don't really intend to keep that promise. And yet, year after year, it holds true that there are confirmands who maybe the year before or many years before eventually fell away from the one true faith. For many reasons. Perhaps friends and family lead them to begin questioning the teachings of God. They start listening to what society and science says to reject most of God's word. Maybe they go and listen to someone who scratch an itching ear, listening to what they, teaching them what they want to hear instead of what they need to hear on the basics of God's word. And eventually, over time, they drop this teaching or that teaching, and then they fail to keep the promise of remaining true to the one true faith. The second promise you are about to make is that you will remain faithful in your life to God. That means that all your life will conform to God's word. And that you will faithfully attend worship service and frequently make use of the sacrament of Holy Communion. That means that you will attend worship services on a regular basis, and not just when it's convenient for you. It means that you will kneel before the Lord's altar to receive His true body and blood, and with an honor the bread and the wine for the forgiveness of sins on a regular basis, whenever you can. It also means that you realize that this is not a graduation. It's a confirmation. You realize that although you've completed a course of study, your study of God's Word is far from over. All right, it's a lifelong endeavor. Unlike graduation, your education is not complete. You've only been taught the very basics of God's Word, and there's much more that you need to know and to learn. And so you will promise that you will do so by reading your Bible at home, that you will learn God's Word in worship services, that you will attend Bible class. You're not going to be satisfied with what you know now, but you want to continue to grow, continue in faith, so the Holy Spirit may strengthen you. You realize that your knowledge of God's Word will not be complete until He makes it complete in heaven. But then again, there are many who fail to keep this promise that they made at their confirmations. That's because many people see confirmation as more of a graduation, that you have completed a course of study, and now you know everything there is to know about God's words. So there's no reason to hear God's word or study it on a regular basis. Or they get caught up in the things of this world. Society or their friends or family or whatever. They tell them that work or school or fun or family or sleep or whatever have you is more important than God and His Word. And it turns out they're not so faithful as they promised to be at their confirmation. So when you take a look at those two promises which you are about ready to make, you take a look at the people who have gone before you in making those confirmations. As you think about who you are, you realize that you won't be able to keep those promises. You, like everyone else, is a sinner. Today, you promise that you intend to be faithful to God and His Word. But you won't always be faithful to God and His Word. We stumble. We fall. We get caught up in the sins. Our friends, our family, our co-workers, they will try to convince you to do something against God's word. Science wants you to reject anything that doesn't make sense. Society has pressures about certain teachings of God's word. And you'll have doubts. You'll have questions. You will fall into sin by your sinful nature. Other things will pop up into your mind. You won't always be faithful as you intend to be, as the promises that you will make. And what does God say to begin the words of our text and also our verse of the day? If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. Now, Jesus is not saying that if you sin, you are an unbeliever. No, Jesus rather is saying that those who love him are those who believe in him, and those who love and believe in him will always strive to do what is right, to always strive to obey his commands. You will not always be able to keep your promises. But just because you will fail doesn't mean that you have the right to do anything you want. Those who believe in the Lord, those who love the Lord will always try to do the best they can to obey God's commands without making excuses about why they can't. Now today, your confirmation day, you make those two promises. But tell you the truth, today, just as it is like any other day, isn't really about you and the promises you will make. Rather, like it is every day, today is about the promises of Christ, the promises that he gives you. And our text for today is a perfect example. Now, Jesus said these words to the disciples in the upper room on Maundy Thursday. In a matter of hours, Judas was going to betray Jesus. He would be arrested. The Jews would hold him in an illegal assembly, sentence him to death, and mock him and ridicule. And they'll hand him over to the Romans, who under Pontius Pilate would beat him and flog him and crown him with thorns, and eventually they'd nail him to the cross and he would die. And less than 24 hours after Jesus spoke these words to his disciples, he would be taken from them and he would die. So before he was gone, before he left them, he wanted to comfort and encourage the disciples. And he gave them these promises, and the promises that he spoke to the disciples, he also speaks to each and every one of you. The first thing Jesus promised his disciples and us is the Holy Spirit. The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all the things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. This was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead, when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples with power in the temple in Jerusalem, and it is the Holy Spirit to open up the Scriptures to their hearts and minds of the disciples, so that they began to understand everything that Jesus said and did, and how the Old Testament Scriptures testified about him. The same Holy Spirit God promises to you. It was the same Holy Spirit who worked faith into your hearts as your parents brought you to the baptismal font when you were babies, as he washed away your sins and welcomed you into his family. It was that same Holy Spirit who worked faith into your hearts when you heard God's word at Sunday school or VBS or in confirmation class. It is that same Holy Spirit who works through those same means, including the Lord's Supper, to strengthen your faith and to increase your knowledge of him and his word. This gift of the Holy Spirit, this gift of faith, is so great because it is through faith alone that we receive all the other blessings that God gives to us. The second promise that God gives to you today is peace. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. The peace that Jesus is talking about here is not the type of peace that the world likes to talk about. We're not talking about peace among men or peace between countries, hoping that everyone will learn just to get along with each other and live among each other. That might be a nice thought, but that's not what Jesus has in mind here. Now, this is the type of peace that only Jesus can give, not what the world can give. This is the peace of forgiveness. Being at peace with God, your Lord. By his perfect life, by his suffering and death, by his resurrection, Christ has removed the guilt of all your sins. Even for all the sins, all the times that you have failed to keep the promises that you have made or will make. Christ has paid their eternal punishment. His perfect life that he lived for you so that he could give it to you. Our sins separate us from God. But since Christ paid for our sins, he removed what separates us from God, and he brings us back to God, reconciles us to our Creator. He makes us at peace with our Lord. We are at one with him. On account of Christ, then, our Lord declares you not guilty. You don't have to be afraid about your sins. You don't have to be about the many times that you have failed to keep his command, because Christ has paid for their sins. They're not going to come back to you to haunt you. They won't come back to you to condemn you. Because the Lord looks at you as pure and innocent. He has paid for all the sins you have already committed, and all the sins you will commit in the future, you have already been forgiven. You have peace with the Lord, the peace of mind that your sins are forgiven, and that when you will die, you will join him in heaven forever. Which leads us to the third promise that God gives us today. I am going away, and I am coming back to you. No, Jesus isn't here right now, of course. Jesus ascended into heaven. He sits on his throne at God's right hand. And he watches over his entire creation, guarding and protecting you. And he will return again. On that last day, on Judgment Day, he will come and he will raise all people from the dead. As believers, our bodies will be raised perfect and glorious, like Christ's perfect body and glorious body. And then, our bodies, perfect and glorious, will join our souls in heaven, and we will be complete, and we will live body and soul together with our Savior forever. This gift of eternal life, all these gifts that God promises to give you, is yours. Not because you have earned and deserved it, not because you do such a good job of keeping your promises, or simply because he likes you, but out of love and mercy, out of his compassion, he gives to you this gracious gift. A gift won for you by Christ through his suffering, death, and resurrection. A life in heaven. A perfect life, free from sin and the effects of sin, and best of all, it is eternal. You will live perfect and glorious with your Savior forever. Today, you're going to stand up here in just a matter of minutes and make two promises to the Lord. Today, Christ has promised you three great things. Faith through the work of the Holy Spirit. Faith which receives the blessings that Christ promises to you and has given to you. The promises of the forgiveness of sins, being at peace with God, and the promise of the sure hope of eternal life through his suffering, death, and resurrection. You will fail to keep your promises. But where you are faithless, God is faithful. All the promises that he gives to you have come true and will come true. There's no reason to doubt or be skeptical about what he promises to give you and has given you already. The words that Jesus speaks are the very words of God. And you can trust them to be true. As the psalmist says in Psalm 33, the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. And as David reiterates in Psalm 145, the Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made. This love and faithfulness is what motivates you to live a life pleasing to Him. It is the keeping of these gracious promises that leads you to make the promise you are about to make and strive as hard as you can to keep those promises. You will not do so reluctantly, but willfully and cheerfully, out of love and thanks to Him, knowing that when you do fail, the Lord will forgive you, as He promises to do. And through His word and sacrament, He will help you to be faithful to Him. As you can see, a confirmation is different than a graduation. A graduation is an end. But as you will promise, the confirmation is the beginning of a life in Christ. The lifelong study of God's Word, faithful worship, frequent use of Holy Communion. In a few moments, you will stand before God and make your promises, but more important than that are the promises that God has given you. You are at peace with God, because He has paid for your sins and risen from the dead. You're at peace because the Lord is faithful to all of His promises. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.